Welcome back to another episode of Anime Deep Dive. For anyone who doesn't know, this is a spoiler review, so if you haven't seen the series and are only looking for a recommendation, there's a timestamp in the episode description for final thoughts. That section's spoiler-free where I give my overall opinion on the series and if it's worth watching. Aw man, I've really been dreading doing this because I don't know how to pronounce the series title. But I did my best to figure out what it is, and I went to Google. But when you type in the word, you get more results for tsundere than anything else. And when I did find a pronunciation site for the actual word, it was reviewed negatively, and I see why. I'm actually going to play it for you guys. So here's the first way they say it.
Tsuiger.
And I'll play it one more time.
Tsuiger.
And here's the second way they tell you to say it.
Tsure tsure.
One more time.
Tsure tsure.
Okay, so even if you get over the robot voices, which isn't easy, I actually had to listen quite a few times just to get past that. The way the first way says it compared to the second way is completely different, so the pronunciations don't even agree with each other. So that only really confused me more, so then I went to someone who's already reviewed the show to see how they said it, and they were just as confused as I was, so that made me feel a little bit better. I didn't feel like a complete idiot. So the way they said it was sure dure, which I don't know if that's right or wrong. Like, if I was just looking at the word and hadn't done any research, I would have said surdure, kind of like tsundere, but like surdure, which is probably wrong too. I don't know how to say it. So pretty much what I'm going to do is anytime I would need to say the title, I'm just going to say something else to avoid the embarrassment. So insert title here was released in 2017 by Studio Gokumi. It has 12 episodes that come in sub and dub, and I watched the sub. So this show is all about the awkwardness of high school dating and explores it through different couples. And I was just going to comment on the relationships, but I also thought it would be fun to rank them. So Takase and Konda start in a damned if you do, damned if you don't situation with their behind the school confession. Because if Takase tells Konda he doesn't have a crush on anyone, she's going to assume he's not into her. But if he says he does, then she's going to think he likes someone else. Either answer screws them and leads to her blurting out that weak confession, which sucked. Because that's not how she wanted to deliver it, and that's not how he wanted to hear it. But I think their biggest problem is they overthink everything. If they just dropped the bullshit, it would be easy for one of them to make a move, but nerves and the fear of rejection are a part of shooting your shot at that age, so it made sense why they had to do all the extra stuff. And one of my favorite moments is Takase going around in circles holding his office chair, waiting for Konda to text him back. I've definitely done that waiting for a girl to text me back, so that was a cool little detail they added. So the reason Takase and Konda are on the bottom of my list is because the final two episodes give them nothing. There's a stupid scene about sharing pencil lead and a quick interaction at the soccer game, but other than that, nothing happened with them. They have no conclusion and it really hurt their story in my opinion. The next relationship is Akagi and Ryoko. The bad boy usually goes for the good girl and she eventually turns him into a better person, but in this story, he's actually the student council president. And she's the delinquent, so that was a nice little switch. And I actually love these two and their sexual banter. The issue is there's more of a focus on Ryoko's individual progression than development of a relationship, which is why I place them so low, but I did really enjoy her buckling down to make something out of herself, and the other girl supporting her broke the stereotype of anime schoolgirls being awful to each other, so that was also nice to see. Next is Minagawa and June. Guys at his age find it impossible to believe that a beautiful girl would want to talk to them, so when one sits down with them, they're looking around for her friends like this has to be a prank, they're all laughing at me somewhere. And it's even worse for Jun because Minagawa's sarcasm adds to his insecurity that she's messing with him. I actually had a similar situation happen to me in high school. I've always had a sarcastic personality and it's hard for people to tell when I'm being serious or if I'm joking. And this girl I liked couldn't tell if I was actually into her. So she asked if I liked her or if I would just play her, and I went for the cheap joke and said both, which was the wrong friggin' answer, because she got pissed and would not listen to me explain that I was just joking around, and it still like gets me to this day that I screwed that up so bad. And I actually saw her not too long ago going into a store, and she actually came over to me and talked for a little bit, then her boyfriend walked in, and I just died a little inside. She still looks so great and all I could think of is if I was real in that one moment, that could have been me with her. So the moral of the story is if you're a class clown, learn when it's time to be serious. because you could see a girl that you liked in high school with another guy and have it ruin the rest of your day. And the reason I put Minagawa and June in the middle is because we never get an answer if they're serious about each other. In third place is Kamine and Gota, the shy girl and the nice guy. They started as my least favorite couple, but they have genuine conversations and build a relationship after dealing with jealousy and uncertainty, which shot them up from the bottom. I do like the individuals in the other couples I already mentioned more, but if I'm ranking the relationships, this one has done better to me. Second place goes to Takano and Sugawara. Takano is crazy to think no one would ask her out. She's a little cutie and Sugawara is so into her. He notices the little things about her and I was crushed when he didn't stick to his bus confession. I wanted them to get together so bad. The reason I put them at number two is because she does ask him to the beach, but it wasn't locked in. If there was confirmation they got together, they'd be my number ones for sure. So now we have the first place couple, Chiaki and Kana. They had a rough start, but I'm on Chiaki's side. The way Kana confessed did seem a little friendly, like, I like you, pal. So for him to be unaware they're dating is kind of understandable. But after all the back and forth goofiness and treating everything like a skit, Chiaki does finally man up and ask Kana properly. And the reason Kana and Chiaki are the top relationship is because of their writing, especially with the physical stuff. Chiaki questioning if his breath stinks or if he's doing things right are all real thoughts when learning about the naughty arts of the bedroom. And some parents might be this way, mine certainly weren't, but Chiaki's mother making snacks and leaving him to do the deed is awesome. I thought that was great. There are some other characters I didn't mention, but the astrology club girl loving her senior went nowhere, and neither did the two new members kissing. Yamane grew more from his friendship with glasses than the girl he was seeing, and I hate the brother-sister complex stuff, so I don't even want to get into that. Then pretty much anything with Katori-senpai made my skin crawl, especially the scene where he calls that girl kitten. I didn't see the point of having these characters in the show, I don't think they really added anything, and the time they wasted on them could have been used to focus solely on the main couples. Now we have best girl waifu and harem. Her couple may have come second, but Takano is number one in my heart. Even though it stems from low self-esteem, her shyness was sweet, and the realization her fever is a manifestation of liking Sugawara was adorable. Of course, these girls are all in high school, so none of them are waifus, and none of them would be in the harem. On the production side, the art style is basic, but it's a little cutesy romance anime, so I didn't need the most beautiful drawn and detailed visuals. And some of the animations were goofy too, like when Takase and Katori are washing their hands in episode 7. The water splashing up from the sink looks awful, but again, I didn't put much stock in how everything looked. One thing that did confuse me, which might seem stupid, is the season's divided into 12 12-minute episodes. I don't see why they didn't make the runtime 24 minutes and have 6 episodes instead. It's not like each episode is a contained story, it's just random clip after random clip, so I think they could have done a regular runtime. The opening song Aime Moko is performed by Best Girl Takano's voice actress Inari Minase. I know her from voicing Hestia and Damachi, but I had no idea she also sings, so that was cool to learn. Other actors I recognized are Kana Hanazawa, who voiced Minagawa. Kentaro Kumagai, the voice of Takase, is also Teo in Grand Crest War. Kaito Ishikawa, the voice of Sugawara, is also Sakata in Bunny Girl Senpai, and Naofumi in The Rising of the Shield Hero. Akari Kido not only voiced Kana, but Nezuko in Demon Slayer, and another character from Grand Crest War, Silica. For final thoughts, this show is a nice watch. Don't go in expecting the most captivating romance story you've ever seen, because that's not what it is. But it is a cute show that I recommend you check out. Alright, that's going to be it for this review. Hope to catch you in the next one.